and welcome to Jumpstart Weekly, the manga podcast where every week we read every chapter of Shonen Jump on Viz's website, as well as another collected volume of manga. I'm your host, Jeremy.
And I'm your host, Kevin.
Happy 2025, Kevin.
Happy 2025.
It's celebrated by giving me COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It was not actually COVID. It just felt like it was.
Yep.
Which is why we did not record. However, Shonen Jump has our back.
Yep.
And is not doing an issue next week. So this week we are going to talk about the chapters that were released on the 23rd of December, as we originally planned.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we will talk about the ones that came out on, I want to say, the 3rd of January. That sounds right.
That sounds right.
And then we will be back to current Shonen Jump chapters. I read most of these before I got so sick I could not watch anime. So We'll see if I remember what was going on in Shonen Jump before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to say before we jump in, Kevin? Any words of wisdom for the year of our Lord 2025?
Not starting off strong.
No, it's not been good.
Half the country's on fire.
Oh, well, to be fair, we're going to double the size of the country soon. So Canada doesn't light on fire, right? It's too cold.
Yep, then only a quarter of the country will be on fire. I guess that's progress, but that doesn't
actually fix. That's one way to fight fires.
Yeah. Look, it's only a quarter on fire now. Well, there's still the same amount of fire. You just added more land.
The Groudon solution to your problem. We'll start off with One Piece, chapter 1134, The Owl Library. Do you remember this chapter, Kevin?
I do, actually, kind of, yeah. This is Saul takes Robin to the library where all the books that you bring in become giant-sized.
Yep.
Which is cool.
My note says, library makes books big.
Yep.
Which is true. Also, nobody dies in One Piece. This week featuring Vegapunk and Saul. And I feel like someone else didn't die in One Piece this week, too. But I can't think of who.
I can't remember.
Oh, some people were saying Kuma. I didn't think Kuma had died.
Kuma has sort of died.
But Vegapunk is going to take Kuma up to his workshop, my dear, and fix him up there and bring him back here.
Yes. Well, that's why I said he's sort of died, because, like, his mind was erased, but Vegapunk has been like, well, I can fix him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's in a state of half death.
We also have Loki on the phone to somebody,
yes, to
being
somebody.
Like, oh man, I'd have fucked those guys up if it was me.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody got summoned at the end of this chapter, Kevin.
Yep.
It's crazy how Shanks as an evil brother went from crack thought theory to definitely canon in like 2 seconds.
Yep. It could also just legitimately Shanks.
I think there is 0% chance this is Shanks.
Probably.
I think there is a chance that some sort of devil fruit or ability to mimic Shanks is in play.
Yeah, but Bon Clay is still alive.
Yes, which makes Shanks' evil brother the most logical.
It makes the most logical sense, yeah.
There is also the Kitsune fruit we know. I don't think this is Cateron Devon, but it might be a similar mythical animal fruit that allows changing of the body.
That's fair.
Anything else you want to say about One Piece this week?
Nope.
Next up, we have Undead Unluck number 236, Heart. Which I remember less, but I think it's that one creepypasta about how death only happens when the last person who remembered you dies.
Yeah, it's like the plot of, or I guess one of the subplots of Coco, that you vanish when nobody remembers you anymore. So you get to stay in the land of the dead until nobody remembers you anymore, and then you die your second death.
Yeah.
Unless you're a copper salesman.
I haven't seen Coco, so I'll take your word for it.
That's not a Coco thing. That's one of the oldest pieces of written language that anybody has found is some dude complaining about a copper salesman.
Ah.
It's very funny because it's like,
proving that annoyance is the greatest of the human emotions. And if you want to be remembered forever, just annoy everyone.
Yes. So you annoyed some dude, he wrote it down, and now that Karen complaint lives on thousands of years into the future.
Anything else about Undead Unluck, Kevin?
Nope.
Next we have Kagurabachi, chapter 62, Iori, which is about the swordsman's daughter.
Yes.
And I really liked this chapter, but I kind of wish it didn't escalate so quickly. I would have kind of liked 2 or 3 chapters of just what this person's life is like, as they are presumably going to become our female protagonist.
Yeah,
I would have liked to spend more time with them before shit hit the fan.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
I did like the chapter overall, though.
Yeah.
He says, and now I'll find I ranked it at number 20.
I doubt it.
I do too, because I remember liking it, like I said. I just had that one nitpick.
No, that's very fair.
Anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
That'll take us to Sakamoto Days, Days 195. I know, not Kung Fu. I remember everything in this chapter except the ending, and my note is time for a flashback, but I don't remember what we're flashing back to.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on this one, sorry.
Sakamoto shows up and he's like, hey, Kisuke, I brought your gun and your bird. Hold the fort for 10 minutes. And Fortune Teller is like, oh man, his bird's really lucky for him. They're like a lucky pair.
I also love that Fortune Teller, I remember now, Fortune Teller Lady takes Shin's name tag and is like, this is my lucky item. Like, it wasn't Shin at all that was his name tag.
Yes. I also had that written down because it was very funny. Mm-hmm. And I remember what the flashback is for, too. It's the Sakamoto meeting Shin before the plot started. Shin presumably doesn't remember.
That's right.
And I think I ranked it lower because of that, because I think that's kind of lame. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe I just am flashback gun shy because of Akana Banashi.
That's fair.
Next up, we have Mission Yozakura Family Mission 256, Banquet Part 1. This is, like, touching, but I'm so ready for Mission Yozakura Family to be over.
Yeah, that's very fair. It's very denouement. It's nice, but that's about it.
Which will take us to Blue Box number 178, Thanks, which is just that scene in every movie. We're like, oh, traffic's bad. I'll get out of the taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that really happened. There was a bunch of emotional stuff, but it didn't really hit.
It sort of hit, but I feel you.
It's mostly just her dad being like, I will get out of this taxi cab now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes it in time, seems to Taki running up to him. Be like, come on, we gotta run.
Yep.
Last but not least, we have Akana Banashi story 140, Tough Cookie. And my note here, which I think has reminded me of the entire chapter, is let's have a training arc and then come back.
Mm-hmm. That's basically it.
I think the chapter's fine, but
yeah, no, it wasn't fantastic, but it was good.
Anything else you want to say about Shonen Jump, Kevin?
Nope.
Well, then that will take us regardless into Jump Card. Jump Card is the segment where we rank everything in Shonen Jump, even the stuff we don't remember because we read it 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at number 20, Kevin?
20 is where I have Shinobi Undercover.
It's fair. It was probably bad. I don't really remember.
The thing that kind of bothered me was they had the main character, because he was trying to protect the girl, he couldn't fight correctly even though she wasn't paying attention anymore. And then someone else shows up to protect her and he's like, now I can focus on this. Like, we already saw you pull this 3 or 4 chapters ago.
You'd be pulling this all every time, every arc.
Yep. It's like, you know, eventually Goku going Super Saiyan doesn't mean shit.
He should just start the fight that way.
And then
an android will drain him and he'll get the heart attack. And he'll be like, I never took the medicine because I felt fine.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, he went Super Saiyan. Okay.
I have me and Roboco here. I genuinely don't remember what happened in me and Roboco. I just remember I did not care for it.
It's my number 19.
Well,
so
mine is Shinobi Undercover, okay. So
we both didn't like those for varying reasons. And
everybody's surprised that we put me and Roboco and Shinobi Undercover as our bottom two.
Yep.
What do you have at 18?
18 is where I put Nueis.
Okay.
I can barely remember Nueis.
I have it a bit higher, and I don't remember why. I think just because there's shipping in it, and
that could be.
I do like shipping. Shipping automatically bumps you up a few spots for me. It's not good shipping or very interesting, but
that's fair.
I have Ultimate Exorcist here.
Also fair.
Because it's like, oh, we're done with that training. Now let's go do more training in the same place. But training-ery.
Yep. Whatever.
What do you have at 17?
17 is where I have Super Psychic Policeman Chojo. I don't remember what the gag was.
I have it higher, so I must have liked the gag. This isn't the one where Copbot is dead.
No, I don't think so.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking of when I think of Super Psychic Policeman Chojo.
Yeah, I can't remember what the gag was, but obviously I didn't like it.
I have Astro Royale at 17.
Okay.
We're going to do a tournament arc, but now do a tournament arc.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever. Not very excited by this. What do you have at 16?
That's where I have Ultimate Exorcist. Training into more training. All right, cool. Yay. Whatever.
16's where I have Kill Blue, because I think this new character is kind of lame. I get why you want to introduce him to kind of like up the stakes and change the status quo and shake stuff up, but it just doesn't do anything for me.
No, that's very fair. He's not great.
What do you have at 15?
15 is where I have Astro Royale. And like you said, it's a tournament arc, and it's I do sort of like the main character being like, no, no, thank you. And then the villain essentially being like, doing it anyway. Okay.
It's where I have new eyes. Again, shipping. Shipping put it at the high of stuff I did not care for. What do you have at 14?
14 is where I have Witch Watch.
Yep.
Oh no, the guy we know
is not around anymore sacrificed himself, and the person who we know is still alive is fine.
Yeah. It's kind of like...
It's the problem with a big flashback like this, where you're trying to build up to a sacrifice, and Witch Watch has not done a great job. It hasn't done a terrible job, but...
Yeah. I always hate when they do that. It's always better when, like...
One Piece gets away with this shit all the time, because Oda's so good at writing this sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, and you can also have people get injured, so you'll have a flashback with a character that has the sacrifice play, and it's, you know, how did Shanks lose his arm? I know that's not a flashback, it's one of the first scenes, but, like, how did Shanks lose his arm? How did Luffy get his scar? Again, those weren't flashbacks, but that kind of stuff, like, oh, that character changed. You know, when did that happen?
Yeah. I'm defending it because it can be done well. Because every time an Oda flashback starts, we roll our eyes, and by the end, we're bawling.
Yeah.
And it's all that sort of thing. It's all dead parents who aren't around anymore, and people with two legs suddenly only having one leg.
Yeah.
He just goes really, really hard, and this did not.
Yeah, and that's very fair. He makes me care about the characters.
And I don't care about this Kappa.
Well, and a lot of times, the only thing they have going for them is they're like, is he gonna make it? We know he doesn't. Or we, like, the worst one is we know he does. I still remember it's the second Hobbit movie. I have a 20-minute fight scene with Legolas and a orc. And it's like, oh, is he gonna be okay?
Speak not of the Hobbit movies to me. Do not quote the old lord to me. I was there for it.
But you know what I mean? I'm just sitting there going like, he's going to be fine. I know he isn't injured.
Why did they make there be a love triangle in that movie between an elf and a dwarf and a Legolas?
I don't know.
Why did they? I should have just said, why did they that movie?
Yeah.
It would have saved us all some time.
I still remember there's the shot of Peter Jackson sitting on set with his head in between his hands. And it's like, yeah, that sums up about how those movies were going. Even the director's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I have Super Psychic Policeman Shoujo here.
Okay.
I don't remember it still, but I liked it more than you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 13?
13 is where I put Kill Blue. The new character is interesting. I like that Ogami?
Yeah, that's Ogami, the main character.
Ogami was his mentor and was like a hard ass, and now he's not. And the guy's like, but you were like a hard ass. What's going on?
Yeah, I just, like I said, I thought it was lame. I thought the, oh, hey, forgive my dumb student assassin enemy was dumb.
It was. Like, that's why it's a little bit higher. I kind of like that. Why were you a hard ass with me and now you're nice to everybody else? And I like that trope sometimes.
I have Witch Watch at 13. Okay. We are a talk to death with the problems with it are. What do you have at number 12?
12 is where I have Hakutaku. It's still just kind of, all right, we'll agree to test your game.
Yeah, I kind of liked some of the introductions to the characters, which is why I went very slightly higher for me.
That's fair.
But I definitely agree with you. At 12, I have Ichi the Witch, and I remember having a big problem with Ichi the Witch that put it down here, and now I don't remember what it was. It wasn't like a big, like, oh, they did a terrible story thing problem. It was a pacing craft problem, and I don't remember what it was.
That seems fair.
But it made me really disappointed in the chapter.
It's my number 11, so
that's where I put Hakutaki.
Gotcha. So we felt very similar about those.
Just don't remember now. The break is going to help Ichi probably more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at number 10?
10 is where I have Undead and Unluck.
Same, again.
Yeah.
It was okay. Very basic. Mm-hmm. What do you got at 9?
9 is where I have Mission Yozakura.
Same, again. It was heartfelt.
Yeah.
Please be over, Mission Yozakura family.
It was heartfelt, but it wasn't like tear-jerking. It wasn't one of those moments that kicked my emotions in the balls.
No.
I just kind of felt like, oh, that was cute.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but...
And also, again, I feel like we're going to get like 10 final chapters of this, and it's going to die kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I guess, why I'm not super excited about it, that but it itself fair. Was cute. What do you have at 8?
8 is where I have the Elusive Samurai. I don't remember why it's down here.
I
liked it
higher, and I remember liking it a lot.
I remember
is
liking it.
Is this the deer
too.
One? Where they
yes.
train the
deer? Yeah, they have the deer on the drums. They don't.
They drum very poorly on purpose so that they can tie some deer to the drums.
Yes.
And people think it's them.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. So yeah. Like I said, I liked it. I don't know why it's down here. I guess I liked other stuff more.
I have Sid Croft at 8, and I remember liking it.
I really liked Sid Croft. I went much higher.
I think it's just that I really enjoyed this and everything above it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember really what happened in Sid Croft, except for that the thief was back and was accidentally giving him a bunch of advice. And she's like, no, I'm supposed to be here to stop you. And also she has the bit about, Manuel, you are clearly a girl. Clearly a girl. How has anyone in their life ever mistaken you for a boy? You are clearly a girl.
Yep.
But I'm not going to blow up your spot about it.
Yeah. I like that. And the three of them are like bonding when Sid comes in. And then we get the start of an arc where there is a killer who left a calling card, I think, or something, some clue tying it in where it wasn't resolved this chapter.
What do you have at 7?
7 is where I put Akanabanashi. Like you said, time for a turning arc. I'm excited to be back with Akanabanashi, so you know, I'm liking it.
7's where I put Blue Box. Like I said before, I just like all of the emotional big basketball panels didn't land for me.
That's fair.
And the dad stuff seemed like very cliche.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 6?
6 is where I put Kagurabachi. I'm interested to see how this progresses, but like you, I agree that it would have been nice to run around with the swordsman's daughter a little bit more to get a little bit of a character introduction, even just one chapter of her.
Yeah. Of her normal life.
Her normal life. And then
ending on a cliffhanger of something is about to explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Like ending a cliffhanger of the window shatters as the guy comes in. That would be great. That would have been, I feel, much better.
I agree. 6 is where I was talking about today.
Gotcha.
What do you have at number 5?
5 is where I put Hematen.
I have it much higher this week, actually.
I don't remember why.
She agrees to let him do her laundry.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
And
sweet.
Yep.
I don't know what else. That seems weird when I say it, but that's what happened. And
yeah.
It was sweet.
It was. More communication with him. It was good.
I have Akanabanashi at 5. I talked about it's just like, oh, hey, let's be determined and do a training arc. But I did like those vibes a lot more than the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of ranking it this high, I'm just so ready for something to happen in Akanabanashi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was promised something. What do you have at 4?
4 is where I put Sid Croft. Like I said, I liked it. I thought it was very cute.
It's where I have Elusive Samurai, so I like deer kicking more than cute girls, it turns out.
I guess.
That's the difference between you and me. What do you have at number 3?
3 is where I have Blue Box. Even though it was kind of cliche, I like the him making it to the thing, and then I think the ending hit fairly well for me.
I have Kagurabachi at 3.
Okay.
While I have those criticisms that mm-hmm. ultimately what they were is I want more chapters like this,
yeah.
So it still had to go pretty high. What do you have at number 2?
2 is where I put Sakamoto Days. I think I really liked that moment with her being like, wow, now that his bird's here, he's super lucky. And then she grabs Shin's name tag and she's like, perfect, my lucky item, I'm set.
I don't need to make out with any boys, I just need this name tag. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna wear it. Now I'm Shin, who works at the Sakamoto department store.
Yep.
I have Himetan at number 2.
Gotcha.
Really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at number 1?
It's One Piece.
Yeah, cause it's the best thing that was in this magazine this week, like most weeks.
It definitely was. There's definitely times where it's not, where it's like just good One Piece and other stuff steps up, but this was definitely.
It's been a minute since that happened, though.
It has.
Sometimes Blue Box is just really good.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean. Like,
and sometimes One Piece takes a week off, mm-hmm. but those are the conditions under which One Piece doesn't make number 1 most of the time, I feel like, lately. Something is really shining.
Yeah. To be fair, we're getting into really interesting stuff in One Piece, so it makes sense that.
But, like, I feel like we've been this since Egghead started.
No, we definitely had bits in the middle of Egghead where we weren't super enthused. Like, it was never bad, but it was definitely, we put, like, Sakamoto Days in front of it and Blue Box in front of it.
Yeah, again, but I feel like it was on weeks where those were on fire.
Yes, that's totally true. I'm not saying, like I said, there were the weeks where One Piece is not number 1 is when One Piece is just good and the other chapters are on fire. When One Piece is on fire, it's almost always number 1 just because we both like it so much.
Anything else you want to say about One Piece or Shonen Jump this week, Kevin?
Nope.
All right. We read volume 44 of Haikyuu. We are very nearly done with it, and we'll mm-hmm. be back to talk about that after this break. This is where Haikyuu starts to suck, Kevin.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's not even suck. It's just it shows all of its like greatest sins all at once. And this game feels like it's going on way too long. And it's focusing mostly on Bokuto, who's fine. I don't dislike Bokuto.
Yeah.
But I really didn't need this long about Bokuto randomly at the end of Haikyuu.
We've had a bit of, it's a lot of, hey, you remember this guy? Hey, you remember this guy? Hey, you remember this guy? And a lot of it is unfortunately like, no, not really. Or, oh, okay, I guess that's cool. But when, you know, half the chapters are basically, not like consecutively, but like half the volume is, hey, do you remember this guy? I guess.
Yeah, not a fan. And even when we're doing volleyball, like I said, I feel like this volume, we really get away from the characters I care about of Kaginama and Hinata. I think it's cool that Bokuto's on Hinata's team. And I like that we take a moment to be like, oh, everybody on both teams is great. They're professional.
Yep.
But it stretches out for so long.
Yeah. I do like the bit where Kageyama shines and a lot of the people are like, dude, he was a monster beforehand. He's fucking terrifying now.
Yeah.
Like I like the King of the Court thing where Hinata's still kind of pissed because he sees the image of Kageyama with the crown and the cape. And it's like he's actually living up to King of the Court. Because, like, the last couple of plays, he just completely controlled the entire game.
Yeah. I do like that. It seems weird to get Kageyama's backstory at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get it. And it definitely felt... I don't even remember this happening on our first read, even though I obviously read that chapter.
Same.
So it definitely had more impact this week, or this go-through after reading the whole series.
Yep.
But it still feels like weirdly out of place and like we should have had this earlier. And like it's just a high point of like slowly dragging towards the end of the series.
Yep. Yeah, and that's fair. It's still really good. Well, it's still good. But you're right. It's kind of dragging a little bit. There's a lot of almost feels like he doesn't know how to end.
Yeah. And I like the last panel of Haikyuu, but we only have one more volume to go. And it's weird how fast we're going to get there, I feel.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's kind of all I have to say about it, which is a bit of a downer, but...
Yeah, it kind of is. I don't really have much else to say either, like I said.
And but... I read this more recently. Mm-hmm. Well, most of it. I read, like, the first couple of chapters before I got sick. But then the rest of it I read last night to get ready. And, I just... The Kageyama backstory bit is cool, but feels odd. And that's kind of all that's going on that I actually care about. Yep. There's very little Hinata this volume, which feels odd towards the end. If there was more Kageyama, I don't think I would mind it as much, because he is definitely the deuterogonist, and I like what there is of him, but there's just so much time spent on the rest of their teams that, like, if we were going forward, if there were, like, 20 more volumes of this, if them in the pros, I wouldn't mind, because you have to set up the team dynamics and the characters, but we're about to... we're on the final volume after this.
Yep, and I wonder how much of that is... Was he planning on trying to go forward and it was losing votes and they decided to axe it, essentially? Like, was he planning on, all right, let's have them be in the pros and we'll focus on that, and then...
I don't think so, because of the rapid, like, acceleration past school to this.
Probably. You're probably right.
It's just, like I said, the Brazil stuff I liked a lot more on a second read, but the whole ending feels really weird and not tacked on. That's the wrong thing. But it does feel like it never finds purchase.
That's very fair.
Anything you want to say about Haikyuu, Kevin?
Nope.
This is a super short episode. Do you want to pick new stuff to read this year?
I guess, sure.
I'll nominate One Piece, because it's the easy one.
I will nominate Kagurabachi.
All right, that's also a pretty good one. I'm going to take Blue Box.
Okay, I'm going to nominate Sid Craft.
Okay, that's not a bad pick. I hope it doesn't go bad on us. I feel like there are lots of series that are fine until we start talking about them every week, and I have a real bad feeling about Sid Craft in that respect, but... I'm
hopeful.
I won't mind talking about it every week for a little while. It's definitely a different sort of thing. I'm going to keep going with stuff we are already reading and pick a Kanabanashi.
Okay. I'm going to pick Sakamoto Days.
That's fair, so I'm on my last pick. Hakutaku, I'm certain, will go bad if I pick it. I just have that bad feeling. I also am afraid it's on the cancel block. You know what? Let's do Elusive Samurai. There are lots of stuff I could pick, but I think that's nearing its end, and I would like to talk about that.
That's fair.
So what is our last series, Kevin?
I'm going to pick Hima 10, just because that's one of, like, there's a couple of series that I would like to talk about, but I'm sure stuff like Mission Yuzakura and Undead Unlock are going to end soon.
Yeah, I could see picking them because of that reason.
Yeah, maybe.
But I also agree with you. If I was getting the last pick, it would be between that and Ichi the Witch. So
yeah, I haven't been super enthused.
We're talking about all the romantic comedies, so that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling we're just going to be overloaded the other way when it comes to talking about stuff. But probably. I don't hate that pick. All right, then. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you continue to do so into 2025. I hope you all have a happy new year. Apologies for the episodes taking a little bit of time, but this means we don't have to take another break when Shonen Jump is off. Next week, we're going to read the new volume of Megalomiri Magical Girls Incorporated, because that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, our opening theme is Fighting Against One's Will by Midair Machine. Our closing theme is A Psychic Fistfight by Tom W. Emmerich. Other music on the show is by Spectacular Sound Productions, and our album art is by Kate Wind on DeviantArt. www.lastpodcast.com is our website, where you can check out all of our past episodes where we say good things about Haikyuu, as well as my other podcasts, It's a Gundam and Last Time on Video Games. Anything you would like to plug, Kevin?
Yeah, actually, the new season of Solo Leveling has started.
Don't tell me you're a Solo Leveling enjoyer, Kevin.
Of course I am. You knew I was a Solo Leveling enjoyer before it had an anime.
But I thought maybe you'd grown taste since then.
It's good.
It's not. Have a great year, everyone.